Ramsey TV.
Our God's kind of a tricky one. I mean that in the best possible sense. He does things in order to trap the wise in their so-called wisdom. Speaking specifically here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, the stupidity of the world God chooses, that he may be disgracing the wise, and the weakness of the world God chooses, that he may be disgracing the strong. So people think that God's trying to look smart and failing miserably. People think that God's trying to look strong, and then he does things like, you know, Noah's Ark, or he does things like take a 300-man army under Gideon and rout the Midianites. Oh, boy, that's weakness. That's stupid. Too bad God isn't as smart as us. Too bad God isn't as smart as George Patton. People don't realize God's doing it this way on purpose, because he's trapping the wise in their wisdom. He's trapping the strong in their so-called strength. He's making fools of them all, and he's doing it by his foolishness. Folks, we haven't even seen the wisdom of God yet. Can you believe it? I mean, the wisdom without the filter. God's wisdom is filtered through weakness. It's just a barest of introductions to God's wisdom. We're seeing like the lowest end of the spectrum of God's wisdom right now. Imagine when we see the full-on, full-blown, full-volume God's wisdom. It's going to be amazing. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to Monday, another week of broadcast excellence here. And today, I'm going to talk about the apparent randomness of God. Now, if you're like me, and somehow I think that you are, sometimes the randomness of things throws you off, and it throws even people who want to agree that there's no such thing as free will. They want to say that God's in charge of the big things, like, oh, the crucifixion of Christ. Yes, we'll say God was in charge of that. The disruption of the world. Okay. World War II. All right. But they can't see God in the details, because the details appear to be too random. And I think we often trip at this ourselves. I mean, my faith is tested sometimes with the randomness of stuff. I mean, read a verse like Ephesians 1:11, God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. And then you try to fill a water jug with water, and then you leave it running because you forget that you're filling it, and it spills over, and then you go to the grocery store forgetting about it, and you come back from the grocery store 25 minutes later and the water's still running. It's like God's responsible for that. I mean, that didn't happen to me or anything like that. It's the randomness. I mean, smaller things than that, even. You put your shirt on the wrong way, you pull your shirt over, and you put your arms in it, which is a big mistake. Don't put your arms in your t-shirt or your pullover sweater before you look at where the tag is. Put the tag in the back, is my strong recommendation, before you put your arms in. Because when you put your arms in and you feel that tightness around your neck, and you realize you put your sweater or your sweatshirt or your t-shirt on backwards, it's very irritating. It could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. This is the kind of thing. These are the kinds of things I'm talking about. This seem completely random. And even people who want to believe that God is sovereign, they'll say, yeah, he's in control of the big things, but the little things, no. Because, again, it's too random. Well, this is my proposition to you. I propose to you today that the apparent randomness of things is another example of the foolishness of God. So we know that God does foolish things on purpose. Noah's Ark, Gideon's army. Jeez, I mean, the loaves and the fishes, and that's not really stupid. That's kind of awesome. What people think is a silly Bible story? Jesus born in a stable. I mean, you know. He does that, again, to trick people who think they're wise into falling into the trap of their own, quote, wisdom, scorning God for sending the Savior of the world into the world via a horse trough. But these people are later going to find out that God trapped them. And I believe God is trapping people with the randomness of events. The events that seem random. God is purposely throwing crazy stuff around, like the water jug thing, or your shirt, or just any little, any and every little event in your life that seems unrelated to anything. It's all freaking related, but it's God purposely making it look chaotic. Life seems chaotic. It seems like a random mess. And again, I say that I've never really thought of the foolishness of God, a la 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or the weakness of God. I've always thought of it in terms of large events, like the Son of God being born in a stable, Noah's Ark, Gideon's army, Noah getting drunk when he gets off the ark. Are you kidding me? God, this is the best you can do. Really? This is the best you can do? The Savior of the world, Noah, getting drunk and having his daughter seeing him naked and all. This is ridiculous. Too random. Too crazy. Too stupid. No wonder the world trips over all these things, but God's doing it on purpose. He's doing it on purpose. Again, I say we haven't even seen the wisdom of God. So I've always applied this verse to the big things. But now I want to bolster your faith today and mine. I'm bolstering mine. I'm talking about this because this has bothered me for a long time. I mean, it bothers me on occasion. It doesn't continuously bother me, but once in a while, it challenges my faith when I see what appears to be random events. And then it clicked. Ah, it's just more of God purposely doing foolish things so that people who would maybe believe in the sovereignty of God will trip on the apparent randomness of the details. That's it. The apparent randomness of the details. And so the challenge is to believe Scripture rather than your eyes. See, this is the trap. God traps people into relying on their own wisdom, on their own a sense of how things should be, on the way they would do things if they were God, and he traps them in their philosophy, in their feelings, instead of reading Scripture. God really wants to be believed. He loves it when people believe him. He absolutely loves it. It's his favorite thing to be believed. Just believe me. And God loves epic faith. He loves epic belief. So how does he get that? He gets it by doing outrageous things and then challenges you. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe I'm still sovereign after all the crazy things that happened today? After you tripped on the sidewalk? After you burned the meatloaf? Thank God. Thank God if you burned the meatloaf, then you would have to go out to dinner and not eat the meatloaf. Meatloaf being my least favorite meal. God says, you still think I'm sovereign after all this? See, he loves epic faith. So he does epic foolishness. And we're faithful. So we still believe Scripture in spite of everything we see. We still believe Ephesians 1:11. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. We still believe Isaiah 46:10. God telling the end from the beginning. We still believe Acts 17:25-28. In him we live and move and are. And God gives to all life and breath and all. It is a challenge to believe these things with the seemingly tiny, insignificant things that happen. And again, it's so much easier. The big things. But no, big things consist of small things. So there you go. Big things can't happen without the small things. The small things are essential ingredients in the larger events. I mean, that is just logical. But this is beyond logic, what I'm talking about, because the small events leading up to big events don't seem to be leading to anything. They seem to be dead ends. They seem not to be part of a thread, of a tapestry, of a weave going through the entire mosaic, the entire picture. It seems they seem to be unrelated. That's another thing. Unrelated. How is this related to my call? How is this related to perfecting me as a member of the body of Christ? How is this crazy event helping me or giving me further contrast? You just have to have faith. And again, it's the foolishness of God that's at work every single moment of every single day. So I want you to think that no matter what small thing happens, that was of God and it was necessary. And even if it's only necessary to A, try and prove your faith, or B, help you realize more and more that God is doing these things and you're affected by them with the rest of the world in order to trip up the world, that they will not be able to believe in a million years that the tiny, tiny, minuscule things, what they eat for breakfast, how much milk they pour into their coffee, the tiniest, tiniest things are dictated by God and, in fact, were written beforehand into the script. The world is too smart for that. Oh, they see everything as chance. And if everything is chance, then everything is chaos. If everything is chaos, then God cannot be God. God meaning placer. He places everything. And so don't be distraught anymore by things that happen to you that seem unrelated to your calling, unrelated to your perfection, unrelated to the necessary contrast that we must learn. Just know that God's doing this to trip up the rest of the world, and he's doing it on purpose, but he's doing it also at the same time to prove your faith. And may God be found true, and may our faith be found legitimate and from God. Though every human being, a self-deceived liar.